to the open public input, item number two. And the policy I'm sure most of you are familiar with, everybody, you're allowed 3 minutes. There will be a beeper that will go off, and I've learned over time that as we get more gray hair, we don't always hear beepers, so I will kind of do this too. So there will be a visual as well. And you can finish your thoughts, but wrap them up, please. We don't want to give everybody the fair shot. I'll call you up two at a time. So starting with Al Martz and Freddie Ginnesicini. Couldn't have said it better. Yep. So please, if you could come up. And Mr. Martz, we will kick off with you, sir.
Did everyone receive the handout I brought in? Well, I was hoping they'd have a hard copy that they could look at. That's why I brought them.
Well, we'll invert that, and while Tammy's doing that, we'll let you go, sir.
I'm Freddie Giannichini from Stevens County Fish and Wildlife Advisory Board. I'm current chair. I'd like to go over our predation problems in Stevens County. The cougar issues, we're having a tremendous number of sightings, complaints from people that don't get called into the department. We've been here before discussing this. The conditions haven't gotten any better. Because of our blue tongue outbreak this year and the lack of deer coming into this winter, the cougar sightings were tremendous. We've had people have animals killed. There's cougars in people's game cameras on their houses. I also work for Clark's All Sports. About 35% of the cameras we sell now are for personal surveillance at their homes. Numbers of these people, large numbers of these people, are having cougars on their trail cameras in their yards. We had one person that I know personally had three cougars on their deck in one night. And it's a continuous problem. It's happening all the time. It's gotten to a point where cougar sightings are commonplace now. It used to be that you hear somebody saw a cougar, oh, wow, that's something. Now, it's, oh, yeah, I had three of them out in my pasture the other day, and I had one going across my backyard, and this type of thing. And people will not call it in. They won't call it in because of the way it's been handled by the department. So we are going to, as a group, refer people to email the commission and or call the commission directly so that you will get to see what type of issues are out there. And hopefully we'll be able to get these people to email the commission. They have a real disdain for the department in that area. You know, our the bear issue has become a real problem. Last year in Northeast Washington, there were 453 bears that were harvested in those units. Over the last three seasons, from September 1st, 2012, through November 15th, 2014, there was 1,122 bears harvested in that area. The department has not given us a number on what they might think the bears' population is. How do you manage it if you don't know? This is one question we'd like answered. The sightings we have are tremendous. And these are only harvest numbers that are reported. So,
Thank you. Commissioner Holzmiller.
Thank you, Chair. I'm just going to echo what this man just said. I live in the southeast instead of the northeast, and same with the mountain lions, just exactly. When I was a young man growing up there, well, I shot my first mountain lion in 1985. My dad and my uncle wouldn't speak to me for a month because they'd been there all their life and hadn't got the opportunity. Now it's commonplace. That's what I had, four mountain lions right there by my house, and then they were spotted all the time. Yes, the mountain lion population. The only thing of it is, in our benefit, if you will cut us a little slack, is we tried making a move on raising the quotas. Our governor decided he knew better than us, so an attempt was made. But, yeah, I'm with you on this thing. The science, there's some science says that you and I are wrong, and it's kind of one of those, who you going to believe, me or your lying eyes? So what this guy is saying is the truth. It is an issue in these rural areas, and then you throw wolves in on the top of it. It just kind of compounds it, and living in these areas, you feel a little helpless going. And then last year, we were struck with blue tongue also, and like I told somebody just a little bit ago, deer season in my part of the world is a national holiday. Everybody's there. And we're just seeing more and more pressure put on our big game herds. And I'm just going to leave it at that. But, no, I couldn't agree more with what this man just said.
At the department's stats, there's approximately 325 cougars in the Northeast Washington game management units. At 44 ungulates per year that they harvest, that's over 14,000 deer. It's almost double what was harvested in that area by hunters. There's something terribly wrong with that picture.
Yes.
Thanks. I was interested to hear your... Yeah, I pushed the button. I was interested to hear your thoughts that maybe you would feel more comfortable, people would feel more comfortable emailing directly to the commission. I hadn't thought about that as a concept, and I welcome that because we've got an issue, and we know that there's a trust issue. And it creates problems that people don't trust the department. And they feel when they do call in, sometimes make these cougar calls, they feel sometimes insulted by the reaction they get from department staff. We've heard that many times. So how to break through that lack of trust? Because we do need to hear the calls. We do need to get a good, objective appraisal of the situation and how many dangerous animal encounters there really are going on out there. Because the records, we are told over and over again, the records don't reflect the reality because nobody's making the calls. And we've got to figure out a way of solving that because we do need to know what's going on.
Is it going to take a child being killed by a cougar for this issue to be addressed? Because there's a lot of people in the county that are just talking about, if one of my kids gets attacked, I'm going to sue the state for lack of management. It's not like there's an occasional one seen. They are seen countywide. It is a tremendous issue. I'm almost speechless that this can continue on, that it hasn't been expanded. If you need emails to be able to back up the commission to make a decision to expand the season, to expand the harvest, we will do everything that we can from a conservative standpoint to try and help the commission. But it needs to get out there to the people. If you have an issue with it, email the commission, so that you will get to see firsthand what's going on.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Martz, we have your hand up.
Yes.
Thank you, sir.
I would encourage, when you get time, to look at that. I know I emailed that to everyone earlier, but I thought a hard copy might be a little more effective. I'd like to talk about the blue tongue issue in District 1, Northeastern Washington. The locals claimed last year was the worst blue tongue that we ever had. The department said that the blue tongue was no worse than what we had during the 90s, but yet they have no data on it whatsoever. And they also seem to forget that we had 3 to 4 times the deer back then that we have now. I talked to a fellow, Nick Skoke, who lived on his ranch there south of Chihuahua for 87 years, and I asked him if the blue tongue was as bad as it was in the 90s. And he said, oh, no, Al. He said it was much, much worse. He said the deer are almost all gone. He was born in the home on his ranch. This year, the department took some calls. They sampled some deer to confirm the blue tongue, and they put some dots on a map. The department was doing nothing to see how bad the blue tongue was, so I spent about 3 weeks doing their job, running down leads and talking to personally every person on that list. Remember, the blue tongue reports are no different than wolves, cougars, and bear sightings. Almost no one calls them in. I want to give just a little sample of what's in there in some of the first few pages. One fellow lives, Dwayne Johnson, lives 6 miles out of the valley of Colville there, and he found 19 deer carcasses in 1.5 miles of Bear Creek along his place. Another fellow, a young man that's a very avid hunter, he thought 2015 was going to be the best deer season he had seen in 20 years. He puts out lots of cameras, and by September, almost all the deer were gone. Don Kuntz, Scott Built, two adjoining property owners down at the headwaters of the Colville River, found 54 deer carcasses in 2 miles of creek. That's a dead deer every 200 feet for 2 miles. These are just the ones they found. Jeremy Hagel, the local taxidermist, in 2014, he mounted approximately 80 deer heads. In 2015, he mounted 30, and he said most of those were young deer. The city of Colville, with a population of about 5,000 people, there were 87 deer carcasses found, dead deer found in Colville. On an average, everyone is saying that we've got basically about a 65% plus loss of deer. This is everyone, including the ranchers that raise alfalfa. They all want the deer back. I know you've heard for years that the alfalfa raisers are the ones complaining about the deer. Every one of them I spoke to want the deer back, and they also all wanted the antler point restriction back. If this is a loss of about 10% of the deer, that would be 3,500 deer in the Colville Valley lost to this alone. So I ask that the department be conservative, do what the people want, bring back the 2014 season structure, which would bring back the antler point restrictions, but allow youth to harvest any buck. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Martz. Yes, Commissioner.
Eric, again, I'll shut up after this, but what this man is saying is correct, because we had a blue tongue in our part of the world, and it was just sickening, the deer that we lost. I've got a good friend that lives up north of Colfax, and normally he has a guide service, and normally they're harvest about 20, 25 bucks off his thing. They took 6 last fall, and they were special people that got to shoot the 6. And he told, and I was in fact talking to him last night on the phone. And normally that place, when you drive down into his draw, the deer are out like rabbits running. And he was telling me last night, or a couple nights before that, he was driving down a road and a deer ran across the road, and it was a big sight. So no, what this fellow is saying is absolutely the truth. It was brutal on the whitetail last year.
Thank you. Well, I appreciate your handout as well, sir. I apologize for this. I'm just having a hard time reading. Is it either Dak or Dale Argott? Maggart. Was it Dak or Dale?
Dale.
Dale, okay. And Ernst Stahn, please.
I print because my writing's pretty bad.
Well, no comment.
I want to address the trust issue, kind of. I want to thank you for this opportunity. And I'm going to have to read it because there's quite a bit of stuff here. I have a problem with the department's analysis of collected data and the numbers they report. They take raw data, data that is provided by warm and breathing individuals, and through an educated estimate called extrapolation, arrive at a number that they claim gives a better picture of the total. I can understand the need for some type of process to achieve this picture, due to the fact that one-third of Washington hunters do not report the results of their hunting, and without considering their success rate, it would result in the possible over-harvest of animals due to improper season length, either sex seasons, etc. That being said, when you are looking at different weapons, different species, various seasons, two genders, the number of hunters, and so on, you are dealing with a lot of numbers, and after a while, speaking for myself, your eyes glaze over and all becomes kind of a blur. And in this blur, it is a lot easier for hard facts to be massaged and adjusted in order to portray a better, more acceptable position. As will be further demonstrated by others, this is being done. Under close study, the numbers cannot be true. One short example, Jerry Nelson will be showing some charts in which you will see that whitetail bucks harvested in four GMUs, 101, 105, 108, and 113, all had increased harvest last year from 2014, and only GMU 111 had a decrease. The raw data, however, shows four GMUs, 101, 105, 108, and 111, with a decrease in whitetail bucks harvested, and only GMU 113 with an increase, just the reverse. As mentioned earlier, there is a need for adding harvest numbers from non-compliant hunters in order to properly regulate harvest levels. Or is there? 11 of 13 eastern states use raw data for regulation purposes, the use of which would provide a trend line that would be more accurate and a lot more believable than the department's current method of voodoo mathematics and the subsequent erroneous information they are now providing to the public and to the commission. If it is thought we need to more accurately depict the total number of animals harvested, then I suggest the department take 25 or 30% of the successful compliant number and add the two together. In the three examples that Al has worked up that you'll hear about later, the extrapolated numbers for three units were 78, 79, and 92%. Different calculation, but why should there be such a variance? What are we to believe? It all reminds me of something I learned about 50 years ago. Vietnam, I was attached to Civil Operations and Rural Development Support, CORDS for short. There was a report that had to be turned into Region 2 headquarters, and it looked pretty good getting there, like what we were doing was working. When I told the CO that his numbers were not right and in reality we were getting our butts kicked, he had me show him what kind of numbers I would have him use. So I took the incidents, the KIAs, the MIAs, the weapons lost, etc., and figured the percentages, and he said, yes, that's right, but look at this, and proceeded to take the same numbers, calculated out, and arrived at the numbers he had in his report. He asked, which do you think the general wants to see, your numbers or mine? I said, yours, but they are not right. He replied that I had seen him do the math and no errors were made, and when I said that it still was not right, he made the comment, figures don't lie, but thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Questions?
Thank you. And the last, Charles Garcia, please. So, Ernst?
Okay. Well, I won't be near as eloquent as everybody in front of me because I don't have near as much to say. Quite simply, I spend a lot of time running around in the woods, and I run into the Forest Service several times. I run into Sheriff's Department several times. And when I talk to them, one of the biggest complaints they've got when they're running around the woods is they cannot get people to support them and help them in finding out who's violating things in the woods, i.e. we've got lots of illegal timber cutting that's going on for firewood, people that are girdling trees or dropping trees and waiting for them to dry and cure before they haul them out. And these are green trees that they're taking down. For the Sheriff's Department, we've got off-road travel folks that are finding a mud hole and making it just a little bit bigger. And they're really having a hard time enforcing this because they can't catch people in the act and the public isn't coming forward. I simply suggest put an MOU together, a memo of understanding together between the Game Commission or the Game Department and these units to reward folks that will report violations. Give them points toward drawings. It's not that difficult. You are not increasing the number of harvests, and it actually benefits everybody involved. That's all.
You were very eloquent.
Oh, sorry.
And an interesting concept. I know one other state that had something called the RAP program, report all poaching. So same concept in which there was some benefit to doing it. But I can promise you we will look at it.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Your turn.
Charles, you're bringing us up to the end here.
Well, unfortunately, I don't have a fancy memo to read off or anything, but I do have some concerns about the wolf population. I do spend a lot of time up in the Selkirk. I do a lot of elk hunting up there. You know, this last year I put 36 miles on my feet, and I did not see one moose up there. I'm used to seeing that stuff up there. It's just kind of dwindled to me, it seems like, unfortunately. I also know some people in the Huckleberry unit, very good farmers up there that had a lot of sheep. I haven't seen nothing about that, but I was reading on the articles last night, and I noticed there's a article pending of 280-something sheep pending for an investigation on the wolf. You know, I didn't pay too much attention to that, but last year when I was walking around in the Huckleberry unit, I did walk across some dead carcasses. And it didn't dawn on me right away what was going on. When I took a break, I noticed that it was a sheep, you know, and it just kind of frustrates me, you know. I've seen Montana, I've seen Wyoming, I've seen Idaho, what the wolves have done to some of their elk herds. And it frustrates me to see that Washington State spent over $1 million monitoring these animals last year. And I just feel that, you know, even in the Huckleberry unit when they were trying to get some wolves that were damaging the sheep herds up there, they had four collared wolves up there that the state was trying to do some hunting with to dispose of some of the harassing animals. And I know they had a good population. They spent some assets on trying to collect those wolves up. And I don't think their success rate was where it was at. I know they didn't get the four wolves that they were looking at. And their state's saying we got 90 wolves in the state approximately. You know, that population's going to grow. They ain't going to diminish. They ain't going nowhere. All they're going to do is increase. And I just feel that we need to do something to, I mean, this is probably money coming from the hunters. I mean, where are they getting this money to research these wolves from? And I just think that we need to do something about this. I just see my game herds disappearing too as well, as far as the blue tongue, but we don't have the game that the other states have, and I've seen what it's done to their states. That's pretty much all I have to say about that.
Thank you, Charles. Any questions for Charles? Thank you all. Very informative. Appreciate your comments. Helps us.